Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
It's very interesting to me.
You're crazy, buddy.
I guess I'm just surprised because Roberta just ended a relationship with you guys. And it hasn't been that long, and now you're proposing to another girl. With the same, like, not speaking English.
It's like you're underwater and you're not even coming up for a breath, man. You're just going deeper.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. And today, as you know, we're talking Seeking Sister Wife. My God today. We're going to start this week, I think, with Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. We didn't even see Slick Nick. Didn't see Baby Vera. We just stuck with our trio of girls, and I was fine with that, but it was kind of more of the same, right? April, our lead singer, as you know, the matriarch, if you will, has decided to get the girls back together. You know, they're doing a reunion tour, and they're going to be bonding at a smash room called Smash Shit. The I was, bleeped out, but you get it, right? April tells us in a confessional that being able to bond and have that time together is, like, probably going to be perfect for them to, like, especially for Danielle, to help her feel more comfortable and, like, show her that she doesn't have to be, like, terrified all the time and look like a hamster in the corner of a cage, just, like, shaking and curious, wide-eyed and wondering about the world. And she can actually be comfortable and, like, express her feelings, right? So they actually kind of let Danielle take a first little whack in the room by herself. Y'all, the first thing she does is pick up a coffee mug. Why did she try to throw it like Daria? Didn't even make a dent in that poor coffee mug. I mean, my God. Fortunately, then she grabs a baseball bat and gets really, really gets to whacking. Danielle says in a confessional that at first it kind of felt weird, but with everything going on, it felt really good to have a full-blown attack. And then April tells us that now that they've had like a good, I don't know, like 18 minutes in the smash room together, might be time to start asking Danielle to maybe start dating again. You know, what do you think? I gotta keep this perspective that Danielle has moved, I guess, back into the house. It's been a few weeks, so let's get there. Last time they asked her, obviously we know what happened. She got a set of keys for a new apartment, so April's very nervous about how to bring this up. In a confessional, Danielle thinks that she's cool, right? She thinks that she's bought herself some time. So she's saying, you know, as a new wife, I'm still getting used to polygamy. And I'm thinking that, like, April and Jennifer are starting to understand that. Maybe I need to take things a little bit slower. I think it's finally clicking to them now. It's not, babe. And then she says that this whole smash shit thing is like a really good bonding experience for them because the sister-wife relationship is sometimes more important than that between a husband and a wife. I'm like, well, none of you guys are married to him. And you won't be so. I guess that technically is true since you guys are legally married to the wives. Yeah, that is actually factually correct, April. It was really just like a lot of slow motion footage of them smashing, you know, old printers from 1998 with classical music in the background. Like, we really don't have to get into this. Oh, also, you know how Danielle said she feels like, you know, the sister-wife's really understanding that I want to take things slower. Basically, Amanda fully... Amanda. Might as well be. April fully tells us in a confessional that they're fully trying to start dating again. She's, again, getting a little bit nervous about telling Danielle. So after the smash room, they go out for, you know, a whole plate of nachos and Moscato. And April's like, oh, I feel like this is a whole new chapter for us. I'm loving life and loving these nachos. And so she says, you know, the way that we, as a family, practice polygamy is that the women are the hunters, okay? We spearhead the dating process. So in order for us to continue our search for our new wife, like, obviously all of the women have to be on board. I know Jenny and I already, and I'm just hoping that now's a good time for Danielle. So April, you know, starts the conversation. It's like, you know, we've been wanting to kind of start to talk to people. How do you feel about that, Danielle? And, you know, Danielle gets to blinking. She's like, you know, I'm a little nervous, and she looks like she's about to cry. She looks very confused, like suddenly she doesn't know English anymore at the same time. It's a lot. So Jennifer says, she's taking up the rear. I know, like, you know that I think there will be things that we're definitely going to be having to do differently now that you're here, right? And so April's like, yeah, me and Nick and Jen, we're running at a full pace of things. Like, we're always just like full speed ahead. It's kind of all our personalities. When we want to see things, we just go for it. And then Jen says in a confessional, she and April have been together for 6 years, right? With Nick as well, right? They've always wanted more kids. They've always wanted to be sister wives. That was always the plan. And it's kind of easy to forget the fact that not all the wives are going to be on the same page at all the time, at the same time. Like, babe, just watch Sister Wives. Like, this is your network. Ask your producer for the login and you'll see how this is going to go down. Okay? You're Janelle. You're Janelle, Jennifer. So Danielle says, I just want to go into this with an open mind and an open heart and an open pussy. She didn't say that last part. And honestly, had you guys asked me a couple years ago, like, hey, are you, Danielle, going to have, like, kids and, you know, a family? I would have been like, no. It's like, yeah, girl, because you're 24. I would have said no for you, too. And I'm still saying no, frankly. So then she says, you know, there have been these growing pains as being a polygamist in these types of relationships, getting married, having a newborn. Dating a whole other woman just really makes her nervous. And so Danielle says, I just want to make sure that we're taking the time to get to know these women, right? April says, in all fairness, Danielle, how can I get a guarantee from you that you're not going to leave our family again? It's like, you can't get that, April. You can't. Danielle says, listen, I know I'm going to need to share Nick with another wife. I don't want to have any insecurity or jealousy to get out of hand, but I do know that that's a possibility. And, like, bless her, because in this confessional, she's looking like a dollar store baby doll. You know what I mean? Like, you know how their eyes, one eye is always just, like, just off track, and it's always just drooping? This is what's happening with her lashes. Like, the glue, it's going. It's dissolving with every second. You can just see it. It's peeling. It just keeps peeling. And it keeps drooping lower and lower into her eyesight. Poor dear. Why didn't we just tell them to pause, cut, break. Can we give her 30 seconds to put some more glue on? Please. And this is how you know that straight people are running TLC. Because they have these women out here looking crazy. You know? Crazy. That would never happen at Bravo. Never. Never. I know what I'm looking at. You know what I mean? But back to April, she is talking square biz to you, baby, and asks Danielle, okay, really, what guarantee do I have that you're not going to go off and rent another apartment and put down on first and last month's in deposit? Like, what is different from before? What has changed with you? So Danielle says, this time, I just want to be honest in the moment, and I don't want to let things fester. If I feel something, you know, I'm going to say it right then and there. And April's like, cool, that's great. I want you to feel comfortable in voicing whatever's going on in that mind of yours. All of us want to know what it is that you're thinking, Danielle. What's going on in there? So then she says, do you really feel like you're ready for us to start dating other women? And Danielle goes, big cliffhanger. I do. I think moving forward would be good. I don't want to close any doors down because I don't think it would be fair for anybody, really. April says in a confessional, I just don't want to be a naive. Like, I know Danielle could leave again. So I'm cautiously optimistic at this point. And then Danielle says, I'm still definitely hesitant to move forward. It's a lot of uncertainty for me. And I feel like what's not being talked about is the fact that Danielle's the one who's got to sign on the dotted line this time. Like, it's not just we're welcoming new women into the family. This is like, this is going to be my bitch, you know? I have to marry her. And that's like a big thing to take on, a big bitter pill to swallow. I don't know how many nachos and Moscato is going to wash that down. You know what I mean? So like, I'm with you, Danielle. Anyway, we got to move on quickly, very quickly to Justin and Becky. I'm not sure. Oh no, we are going to see them again because we saw them in the preview. Oh, Lord in heaven. Lord in heaven. Okay, let's get through them really quickly because we didn't see them much. So they're just, you know, walk of shaming it back into their condo. And I had a revelation, and let me know if you think I might be onto something. They drove 12 hours from Texas to Colorado, right? And I'm thinking like, okay, this is very unwell. People go on long haul road trips all the time. So like, this is no shade, but I'm thinking maybe with them specifically, this may have been legally necessary because I'm wondering if maybe Justin and Becky especially, has maybe gotten herself and Justin onto a no-fly list. That's all. That's just a theory I'm working up in my head. It's giving now that you hear it, right? Like, you could see that happen. Becky, if we could go back to Reddit, somebody want to do the search for like women screaming at Southwest Terminal. I'm sure in the past 10 years, Becky's been, I don't know how many like watch lists there might be in this country, but if there's more than one, I think they might be on like two or four or seven, to be honest with you. Now, Becky tells us that their visit with Stephanie, if you could even call it that, or Stephanie, whatever her name is, could not have gone worse. And they really didn't have any real visit or talk with her. They just pulled up to the Sri Lanka, knock, knock, knock on the door. She wasn't trying to hear it. Like, we all heard this recreation that happened last week. Why are y'all here? What are you doing here? And also, she decided to date somebody else. So Justin, in an effort to comfort and console his wife, he basically puts Becky in a headlock to hug her, whatever. But she's like, you know, I just feel heartbroken and betrayed. And I just wonder if Stephanie's been lying to us this whole time. And what, if anything, was even real or true? What are you talking about? She told y'all, don't come around here, and y'all did it anyway. And you were calling and calling and calling, and she was blocking and blocking and blocking. What do you mean? She was being real with you. So after that, Becky looks up, you know, in her headlock haze and goes, so, what now? So then Justin has the audacity, to quote Ramona Singer, the absolute audacity to say, it's just too much disrespect for me. I can't do it. I can't keep chasing her when she has no respect for me or her own words. So I can't keep talking to her anymore. Huh? So then Justin tells us that right when this happened, he wanted to bust some windows out of some cars, but he says, I don't want to feel terrible forever. I'm just not that kind of guy. I think you are because this is now the second time that you've threatened to punch people or some random act of violence because you didn't get what you wanted out of Stephanie. So I think you are that kind of guy, you know? And he's like, you know what? I think I just got to move on and get out of the mud and move on. Like, okay, great quote. So Justin tells Becky, I went out of my way 100% and I gave her everything I could. I'm out. I'm out. Becky, of course, she's still hooked in, isn't she? It's very emotional to go through what Stephanie's putting us through. And it's just very hard to see how Justin feels, but I know he's devastated. So Becky again is like, what do we do? Get back to work? Do you want to keep looking? And Justin goes, you know, all of this doesn't make me question the lifestyle at all. For us, polygamy means strength in numbers, and you can better yourself and your family. So then, you know, speaking of wanting to strengthen his family, he's like, I'm going to go work out. It's the only way I'm going to feel better. Bye. Now, y'all have been seeking for 20 years. It has not worked. Any point. Y'all are to the point where you're putting money on people's books at Orange Theory and chasing them down and asking them if you need to have sex, STI tests, and who have you been fucking? If not for my husband, lady. Is Greg listening to us? Why didn't you answer my phone? I will not be ignored, Stephanie. But she's putting you guys through something. Okay. 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 Let's move on. All right. Let's move on to Naeem and Nayla. Whatever the hell that was. Put them on a watch list too. So they're getting ready for another date. Honestly, I will say that I did love Nayla's Chaka Khan I Feel For You era wig. Like, it was giving. I like that. So Naeem is like, what are you thinking about tonight? And she's like, well, we've already met her. And he's like, yeah, well, it's a different element, though. We don't know who it is. So Nayla tells us, we met Alexis at a pool hall, and she is significantly younger than us. She's 26. Well, we got to keep that in mind, okay? Nayla says that Naeem thought Alexis would be the perfect person to get his feet wet or anything else. But Nayla is very obviously not into this. She is not trying to do this. She's fully like, this is Naeem's idea. It feels awkward because, you know, fake Keisha from Atlanta ghosted us. So things are a little weird there. But Naeem seems interested in talking to her. So I guess I'm going to give her a chance. Now, Naeem is laughing in this confessional. We already know that this is after the fact. So I'm like, okay, this went to hell, didn't it? What happened? So Nayla, they get there and they're like, we're going to keep an open mind. But initially I was like, absolutely not. So Naeem says, you know, well, we do need to start trying. And if anything, it'll be like a good tune-up, right? So of course he's excited, you know, because he's going to get his feet wet potentially. And he says in a confessional, I don't have any problem playing. He says, I don't have any problem playing with any age group. I just want to have fun and loosen up. Okay, maybe keep that wording to yourself. I know she's 26, but I don't mind playing with any age group just to have fun and loosen up. It just is not, it doesn't hit the eardrums in a way that is going to look good for you, Naeem. We'll just workshop that phrasing anyway. So they do go to a much nicer place than they were going to be taking Keisha from Atlanta. But let's be real, Keisha wasn't real anyway. So she did deserve those dollar store vines on the wall of that shrimp shack. This place has a wall of like wine barrels and some fake Home Goods eucalyptus in the back. Like, we're classy. We're elevated here. Nayla asks Naeem, are you nervous? You know, I can kind of see the apprehension on your face. And he goes, do you think she's even going to show up? And Nayla goes, well, obviously she's not Keisha. Like, we're not going to judge her for that, but it is in the back of both of our minds. So Naeem tells us that typically, because they look online, Nayla's the one who is looking for the women. But if it's going to be in person, he's got to be the one to take the lead on that. Alexis shows up. And you know what? Always a lesson in being careful what you wish for. You know what I mean? So Naeem says, my impression from when Alexis first walked in was that this was not the outfit for the location. Like, if you're going to have drinks, you'd wear a dress or a nice skirt, but she's barely dressed, and it's just not something that we would do. I just need somebody who knows how to carry themselves. A mature woman is what I'm looking for. Okay, it has been 2 seconds. She has not even sat down on the stool put one cheek on a stool before he's already like, I'm out. So I have so many questions. As soon as we had both eyes on Alexis, listen, I don't begrudge anybody for a natural beat. I barely wear makeup out in public, okay? But baby, you're gonna be on television. All she had on her face were lashes, and it just, like, not even a BB cream. My second question, did we check her ID? Because it looks like the production or somebody found her outside of Justice Limited 2. Do those stores still exist? Like, she was just clocking off of her shift, taking her lanyard off of her neck, and they were like, hey, do you want to go on a date half a block away with these two people, and they're looking for another woman? Are you interested in that? She's like, yeah. Are you guys going to give me a free meal? I really want a burger. And they're like, yeah, for sure. Don't even worry about it, okay? Just sit there and talk to them. She's like, yeah, cool. I think that's what happened. They're like, how old are you? And she's thinking, I just got my license. So let me just round up. 10 years. 26? I'm 26. Do you have an ID? I don't. I left it in my car. I don't. Like, how old was this child? What child is this? She has on a wet and wavy wig that looks like she slept in it the night before. It's so mushed down on her skull. She was wearing a white t-shirt and a skirt. Which would not be, like, if you're not watching the show, you wouldn't be like, okay, that's not, like, the worst thing for a pretty casual wine bar. But the thing is, again, it's giving Justice. It's giving, she's wearing, like, a 14. And I don't mean in women's. Like, I mean, she's about to go up to a size 0. It's just, I'm so confused. And y'all, that skirt that she's wearing is so short. Like, thank God she was wearing it, because you would have seen her little panties had she not, when she was sitting down. It legitimately looks like two, like, teen parents have grown up and they're taking their teenage daughter out because she just did really well on her SATs. Like, also, Alexis was, like, a little strange, don't you think? She's like, oh my God, I love this place. This is so great. And they're like, oh, do you like wine? We go here pretty frequently. She's like, yeah, I love the kind that tastes like apple juice. I'm like, yeah, girl, because you're 12. What wine tastes like apple juice is my question. Also, you literally, I think, just want apple juice. I think that's what you're looking for because you're a child. So Alexis tells us in her little side interview, when I walked in, I was so excited because I felt the vibe was there and, like, we had such a good time, like we had in the beginning, and I just think that's going to continue. So it seems like on this date, they get a wine flight, and by that I mean they get one wine flight for them to share. So they go around, they all have their one, right? She tries one. And Nayla is, like, trying. She's kind of trying at this point. And they're, like, sort of bonding over the wine. She's like, it tastes like pink. And Nayla's like, yeah, I can see that. It does kind of taste like cotton candy kind of thing. And Naeem's looking at her. And he goes, well, I don't know if this is made with pink. So then Nayla's like, oh, try this one. And she gives it a little sniff, you know. Oh, this one smells like fruit snacks. Kind of like a sour fruit snack. And now he goes, fruit snacks. Okay. That would not have been the first thing that came to my mind as we're doing a wine tasting, but fine. Then he tells her, you know, I think that kind of, like, you know, taste buds thing, like, because I wouldn't think, like, my first thing wouldn't be, like, you know, like a trolley, little fruit gummy. I think that kind of, the taste buds come with age a little bit, like, not to throw the old card out there. She goes, are you talking about me or the wine? And he goes, no, I'm talking about me. And Nayla goes, yeah, you know, with age, like, the taste buds change. And Alexis goes, yeah, I have, like, baby taste buds. And he goes, you got baby taste buds. And she goes, I do. I'm an adult for the first time tonight. And again, we got to listen with our ears because you just said, I'm an adult for the first time tonight. So again, did we get an ID on this woman? Did we get a long form birth certificate? Because I have so many questions. She looked like a child and she acted like one too. Like, what was that? So Naeem says in a confessional, I think her age is coming out a little bit. And Nayla goes, yeah, a lot of bit. Yeah. But which age is that is the real question. So Alexis is like, she got herself a little burger and chips and she's pecking. By pecking, I mean like she's ripping off little bits of burger with her fingers and eating it. She's like, I love it here. I've never done anything like this before. Like what? Eating a burger at a restaurant?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What are you talking about? Like, gotten to order for yourself? Not off the kids' menu? Like, what are you talking about? What are you referring to, Alexis? Naeem manages to be like, I gotta go to the bathroom. You would tell when he got up, Nayla looked at him like, oh, you motherfucker, because you left me. You left me with her. So Nayla's gotta do her scene with Poor Things, another character from Poor Things, Alexis, just out there in the world, learning as she goes. So she's like, well, what do you think about Naeem? She's like, he's so fun. He's so fun. He's awesome. You know, I just feel like everybody's just kind of meshing with each other. And Nayla's like, mm-hmm. Sure. What else can I ask you, even though this really doesn't matter? Should you guys decide to move forward? We just don't have rules so much as, like, respecting guidelines and boundaries we have for each other. So I'm just going to tell you that there are no one-on-one dates initially. Like, just if we all gel, and then, like, you and I can gel, that sort of thing. So Alexis says, oh, well, in the beginning, I kind of thought it would be more of a one-on-one situation. And then we would come together if things, like, if we clicked from there. And Hila goes, oh, okay, well, we do it the other way. And Alexis goes, well, to me, I just think that would be fine. And Hila goes, you do? Okay, well, from experience, that just doesn't really work like that. And Alexis goes, well, you never know what happens. You know, you just got to kind of keep your mind open. Nayla wants to rip her wig off at this point. She's like, this was not worth it. It's not worth it. So Nayla tells us in a confessional, I was offended by that. It threw me completely off guard. And it's reminding me of past situations where the women would think that it was just going to be her and Naeem and not us as a family unit. So this date is not going well at all. Now, I got to correct you on that, Nayla, because you just told on yourself. First of all, we know the date is not going on well because you're on a date with a 14-year-old. The reason you can't be completely caught off guard by this woman wanting to say or date Naeem on her own, if you're also saying that this is a repeated pattern of behavior with basically every woman that you guys have tried to date. So you actually shouldn't be surprised by this or taken aback at all. You should be taken affront or whatever. I know that's not the phrasing, but we're just going to go with it. And yeah, I'm just not sure why this is not clicking for you. But anyway, it doesn't matter because this date is horrific. So Nayla says in a confessional, this date is an absolute fumble. One, she's too young. Two, she doesn't care about the guidelines or boundaries. So Naeem, I would love to know how long he managed to just hang in the bathroom. But he comes back and Nayla says, oh, we were just talking about the guidelines. And Alexis goes, yeah, what's your take on it? Is right away too soon? And so Nayla and Naeem look at each other and he goes, yeah, definitely not right away. Now, I would like to say, like, they're going to take this as a W for their relationship, and they really shouldn't. They're bonding on the fact, Nayla and Naeem are bonding on the fact that they don't like this girl. And so the only reason why Naeem is not being like, oh, we definitely don't do one-on-ones right away, is because he doesn't want to date her anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Like, I know Nayla tries to be like, I'm the one who initiated this, blah, blah, blah. But we've also seen all the evidence in the world to prove, like, if Naeem wants to correct Nayla, he absolutely will. He has no problem doing that, and not, certainly not to his own mother. So he just doesn't want to have sex with Alexis, mostly because she's weird, but also because he could be put on some sort of list. So, you know, there's that. So Nayla says to us, for her to come back and ask Naeem her opinion, even though I just gave her the guidelines, I felt that was disrespectful and presumptuous. Like, maybe I'm dictating things, but Naeem's just following along and not actually on board, which is true. But I'll let you ride that wave on your own. So Naeem tells us, it's important for us to, like, all be together as a unit. We need to get to know each other first, and it's a tough thing to be together, but it's also a good thing. So Alexis goes, okay, well, what made you guys want to venture down this road in the first place? Naeem says, well, actually, Nayla was the one who initially brought it to my attention. And Nayla says, I think it's odd that people think it's weird that I was the one who initiated it. And Alexis goes, well, Naeem, you were probably thinking it, but she's the one who said it out loud. And you were just like, oh, I'm going to go for it. And he's like, no, no, no. When she brought it to my attention, I was hesitant because I never wanted anything to interfere with what we have already. But then learning about it more and, like, seeing the benefits of it. And Alexis goes, okay, but are you guys nervous that it might interfere with your relationship? And he goes, yeah, I still am. But let me ask you a question. You know what we're about. What do you feel about being part of the equation? And Alexis goes, you know, I don't know. Like, we're definitely just meshing perfectly fine as it is now. So I think it's going to be fun. So Naeem tells us, I'm actually hitting Nayla under the table because I want to leave. This probably wasn't the best move to have another date with her. The conversation's all over the place. And Nayla goes, yeah, it's time to wrap it up. Because she was just going to keep talking. And then Naeem goes, yeah, and she was going to keep eating those chips. The way, it's like, not only is she behaving strangely, like, she's eating weird. Like I said, she keeps picking off bits of her burger and eating these chips like she's never had a chip in her fucking life. And in the whole context of all of this, to make it even more awkward, Nayla and Naeem have been, like, watching her eating, and you could tell how horrified they are by the whole thing. Like, every time they just look down at her plate, like, my god, woman. So Nayla does her big one and is like, you know, I think you have to go get going along, but time is flying. We had so much fun. They cut the date so short, y'all. She's still chewing. Like, she's not finished the second half of her burger. And it doesn't also seem to be clicking with her. She's like, nom, 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 nom. Like, this is me chewing. This is so much fun. This is so great, you guys. So Alexis says, you know, they were just a lot of fun. Like, I don't know. It was just really good to go out with them and hang out with them and see them. And, like, I don't know, just, like, be with them. I think everybody was comfortable for sure. And then she just starts cackling. And then she stares at the camera. And it's just silent. Speaking of silence, Naeem and Nayla are sitting at the table with her little chunked up bits of burger and chips in silence for about 5 seconds before Naeem goes, no, absolutely not. So Nayla says, do you want to expand on that? And he goes, no connection, no similarities. I thought my daughter was at the table. That was bad. So in a confessional, he says, she was just way too young. And Nayla goes, yeah, mentally though, but not physically. Like, what does that mean? Well, whatever, girl. So Nayla says, despite it all, they don't want to give up on seeking because that's who they are. It's who she is. They want to keep seeking because she knows that this woman's out there. All right, now we have to end on Joel and Slackjaw. And I forgot to mention last week, did this lady have a whole baby? because she looked pregnant in her confessionals. And I don't mean that in that, like we know that her body's typically pretty banging. And I'm not saying that it was any less banging. It just looked like a banging pregnant body. Does she have a baby? Does she have a baby? Because she's definitely not pregnant in her Instagram live last night. But I just have so many questions. Does she have a baby? Because they were teasing like, oh, I got a big thing to say to Joel. Have they been hiding a baby this whole time? What the hell's going on? We got to get into their storyline because it was the fuck wild. Like, truly. They're back in America and we're having a pizza party to break the news to the family that they have proposed to Natalia. And they're terrified to tell mom and dad. Now, I just want to clarify that Danielle's mom and dad are there. When I say that they're terrified to tell mom and dad, I mean Sam and Samantha, her brother and sister-in-law. Did you guys look at that pizza? Ugh. Yuck. It looks like something children made. What's going on with the pizza industry in Colorado? I would think it would be pretty good because y'all got like a whole brewery industry, cottage industry of breweries, but this looked like yuck. Also, I don't trust either of these people to have taste in food, so as I answer my own question. So they're all sitting down and Sam's like, oh, how'd your trip go? And Joel's like, oh, you know, it was really eventful. Everybody got along really well, so I ended up proposing to her. And Sam just goes, what? You proposed to her? And she said yes? So Sam tells us he already proposed to another girl right after Roberta left him. It's a little soon. It's like kind of crazy. He's only met her one time. It just seems a little intense. Samantha is just sitting there. And she's like, no words are coming out. But you can tell she's got restless leg. It's quaking. It's quaking and shaking. And it's telling us all we need to know. So Samantha goes, Garrick, why? I think it's a little crazy, especially with what happened with Roberta. It just seems a little fast. So Danielle's dad is like, are you guys sure? Because Brazil really didn't work out too well the first time. And Joel's like, you know, I'm sure. We felt God's confirmation for sure. And Sam goes, wait. How long have you known her before you felt like God wanted you to marry her? And both of them are like, oh, you're like 2-3 months, 2 months, weeks or something. And Sam goes, okay, 2 months and you never met her. And the first time you meet her, you propose. And Samantha goes, this is just crazy, Eric, right? And then she says, I just feel like he's repeating himself because that's what he did with Roberta. And when you go off your feelings, you just do something stupid. So Danielle is like, obviously she knows that they don't fuck with this whole situation, right? She knows. Samantha be telling her, and Sam does too. They got a whole group chat without Garrick. I guarantee you. They're like, girl, get the fuck ASAP. So she's looking at the fact that Samantha looks like she wants to knock Garrick out, and she points it out. She's like, you know, you're giving him a dirty stare, which is very interesting to me. And so Samantha says, I'm just surprised because Roberta just ended a relationship with you guys. It hasn't been that long, and now you're proposing to another girl. It is kind of like the same thing, like she doesn't speak English, you know? And Sam's like, it just kind of seems like you guys just go underwater, and instead of catching breath, you just, like, keep going deeper. So then Sam tells us, it can be very trying to see somebody do the same thing over and over again. He tries to mind his own business. He doesn't want to see them get hurt again if it doesn't work with Natalia, because that can be a lot, because they're emotional, meaning Joel and Slackjaw are emotional, and then they come to them with their bullshit, so it's just hard to see. I'm like, loving Sam, I don't want to take this on, okay? But then they keep doing this dumb shit and then keep knock, knock, knocking on my door. My sister's crying and I can't avoid it. I don't even want to deal with this, and yet I have to. So this needs to work, if only for his sake. Save Sam and Samantha. Samantha is like, is there going to be a wedding? And she says, Slackjaw explains to them that there is absolutely going to be a wedding, but what they're trying to decide is whether this is going to, they're going to get Natalia on a K-1 visa or a marriage visa, meaning Joel's going to go down to Brazil and marry her, come back to America, and, like, she'll be, like, my wife, right? they're trying to figure out the best option moving forward. Now, of course, we know that when Slackjaw says, we're trying to figure something out, what is really going on is that Joel has already decided what he wants to do. He's trying to get married, and she's trying to get him to not be married. And so this is them trying to figure the best option moving forward. So, yeah, he's like, you know, I think we're going to get married in Brazil and then submit that to America. So Samantha's like, okay, is she going to move here, though? And Joel says, we still have to figure that out because she wants to be a lawyer. And I've been encouraging her to keep pursuing that. And she wants to open up a practice. And, you know, I've been encouraging her. Why would you encourage her to open up an entire law practice in Brazil? I don't even think that's easy to do 1 year out of law school, first of all. I think that's like a project, I think. And also, why would you want her to build up a whole fucking business in a country when you are planning on marrying her expeditiously and getting her to America? But you're also telling her, make all of these very permanent plans that are going to be very hard to untangle yourself from should you actually want to come up here. Like, what? Pick a wall. Like, I know that they're trying to get off on the, like, oh, we don't just have this woman down in Brazil in a holding pattern waiting to come up to America because they don't want to get embarrassed again because of what happened to Roberta. But also, if she's actually planning on moving her ass across the world for you for the rest of her life in a marriage and family relationship, then it kind of does make sense for you to be like, let's figure it out. Like, these are the decisions you made. And I actually don't think it would be unreasonable for him to be like, take a breather until we can get you settled in America. And if you need some money, I can help you. I actually don't think in this situation that that's really, I actually think that is what you should be doing. So they're asking Joel, are you giving her money? And he's like, well, her dad does pretty well, so like, he takes care of her. And so Sam is like, okay, well, how do you feel about a prenup? Because what's going to happen, especially to Danielle, if the relationship doesn't work and Natalia just takes everything, like, what's going to happen to my sister, right? And they look at each other like this has not once ever occurred to them. Even though Danielle says, yeah, we've thought about that. I'm like, yeah, no, you've thought about that. You have. So Samantha says, I know you feel like this is what God wants you to do, but like, do you feel that deep down what happened with Roberta might happen again? And Joel says, you know, there's fear. There's fear and worry. But you don't have those in a monogamous relationship. And Sam goes, well, doesn't that mean that maybe you should get to know her more and like figure this thing out before moving her in? And Joel, of course, our strongest soldier, we're just obeying God. You know, we both felt him talk to us before we went to Mexico, and we both felt this cloud of the Holy Spirit flowing over us, and just laughter and joy came over us, and we were just like laughing and happy and like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I'm like, yeah, this is crazy. Sam tells us in a confessional, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to guess that this works out maybe like 40% it is and 60% it's not. Again, I really have to beg Joel to like understand a fucking weather pattern and understand that a cloud or condensation or, you know, any sort of light breeze or even a gale force wind is not God literally talking to you and being like, whatever you want, Sonny. You want another woman? Great. Keep going. Also, have we ever seen Joel laugh in this series? One time, what were you and God kikiing about? What was he telling you, girl? Who do you think is on? Have y'all seen Love is One, the Cult of Mother God docuseries on HBO? Y'all are my people. I know you've seen it. Okay. Who do you think is on Garrick's galactic team?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Who do you think? Sound off in the comments below. Maybe a homework assignment for myself is to come up with next week five people that I think is on Joel's galactic team. Remind me. Can you somebody remind me? I mean, Robin Williams is also on there. That's why you're laughing. That's what I have to wonder. Anyway, so after that, Samantha looks at them and is like, I'm baffled. And she just keeps gnawing on that disgusting looking pizza. So then we unlock a new character. Have we met Bill before? Joel's best friend, Bill, from fifth grade. They go on a bike ride with each other, cracking open, I think, some beers. They had koozies on it. We couldn't tell. But Joel tells us, you know, Bill's been with me through everything. And I'm just like thankful that I can count on him for anything. I need to know, does Bill also work for this construction company, the Merrifield Construction Company? Because he's also got that ugly fucking hat on with the logo on it. They keep popping up in all the scenes. At this point, it's giving Bethany Frankel when she came back after she was divorcing Jason. And we saw that fucking skinny girl merch everywhere. Kyle and Mauricio over in Beverly Hills wearing the agency hats all the time. Like, is TLC getting a cut of this construction business? Because if not, next season, y'all got to find something else to wear. I can't. They're ugly. And also, I don't feel like you guys deserve the promo. So anyway, they sit down and crack open in a cold one. And they're sitting on a bench and Bill's like, oh, I hear you're going to Brazil. And Joel's like, yeah, you know, it's because, you know, Natalia is part of the family now. And it's important that we spend time with her. You know, I do think that's one thing Roberta and I weren't doing. Like, I wasn't spending that much time with her and it kind of hurt our relationship. Like, no, she didn't want to be in a relationship with you anyway. So then he's explaining to them, like, you know, we're thinking about doing the visa process a little bit differently and doing an actual marriage and, you know, going down there and doing that. Joel says, you know, I'm excited because Natalia is actually committed to me. And, like, she knows that we have some hurdles with, like, the visa. So I'm going to go down to Brazil and see Natalia and we're going to do a legal marriage. And, you know, when I get back to America, I'll file for the marriage visa. So Bill, our only adult in the room, or at the park, wherever they are, asks, how does Danielle feel about all this? Because she was pretty hurt after Roberta did that the first time. So has she battled with any of those emotions this time? And Joel goes, I think, because he doesn't know. Why would he bother asking his wife how she feels? You know, why would you do that? And I think that, like, the battle for her is more that, gee, people suck. And maybe she's just worried that Natalia will be the same like Roberta, and she's almost getting cynical. But even in monogamous relationships, you go through a terrible breakup, and just like, you know, a lot of people just get, they just want to quit. So Joel says in a confessional that he drops a little bomb, he and Danielle have actually been struggling a little bit lately. The first time this man has ever admitted to having issues with his wife, the wife that is always crying and clearly having an issue with her relationship. Danielle's pretty upset because she feels like Natalia's not really trying to connect with her and she's not as engaged. And I do think that there might be something to that. So Bill says, you know, it's pretty wild that you're going for it again, dude. Like, you've always been a little bit more willing to jump into a committed relationship than I have been. So then Bill tells us, I love it when our friends tell the truth. You know, knowing Garrick as long as I have, it just like makes a lot of decisions that at first I'm like, you're doing what? And then I'm like, oh, it's Garrick, you know, he's just kind of a crazy bastard. But I do think that there could be a lot of wasted time and money down in Brazil. And I just don't think Danielle's very happy about it. So then Bill looks over at Joel and goes, have you ever thought about the fact that there's going to be two chicks under one roof and the jealousy that goes along with that? Like intimacy, like, aren't you going to worry that sometimes hearts are going to be broken? You're like, I know Roberta really did break your heart. So of course, Joel Osteen, he must have found himself in one of those same forums that Cody Brown has found himself in, where it's entirely the sister wife's responsibility for their relationship, and he has, like, nothing to do with it. And he tells Bill, well, basically, it's just like, if these women and their silly women emotions can get it together and just be honest and loving, and they love and support each other, and they care, and they look out for each other's best interests, and they're not getting into their egos and that kind of stuff, I think it'll be beautiful. But yeah, if they don't follow that path, it'll be pretty crazy. Like, you have no onus, no ownership over making these women feel good. Because you get everything. You get everything. And it's like, well, if they can get over the fact that they're going to get even less of a cut with every wife that comes into this family, I think this will be a great thing. Like, yeah, for you. If they just shut up and quit crying, I think we can all get along. So then he asks Bill, will you just keep me in prayer and ask God to help out? And Bill goes, oh, I definitely will. So then it gets deep, y'all. On a very special Seeking Sister Wife, we see Slackjaw recording herself all on her lonesome. And she says they've been back in Colorado for about a month now, and things just are not how she expected them to be. And then she tells us, I feel like Joel and Natalia are really connecting and building their relationship. They seem to talk quite a bit, but seems like him and I are just not in a great place. And then we get this strange footage. Slackjaw is recording herself, recording Joel, and they're in like a full-blown fight. Joel is doing his regular tactic of like, pretend to be cooking so that you don't have to talk, but it's not working again. Try another move, babe. But they're fighting because Natalia apparently has not been responding to Slackjaw's text messages. So we see Danielle say to Joel, she didn't respond to my messages that I responded to her. She was online. And Garrett goes, okay, well, now she's home. She's having a Father's Day dinner with her family. But Danielle goes, but she responded to you how many times? And Joel goes, a few. So she tells us that the communication just has not been there with Natalia, and her attention's been way more towards Garrick, and their bond of sisterhood has just been, like, out the window. She's been expressing concerns to Garrick, but to the surprise of absolutely nobody, he does not understand. He doesn't get it. I don't know where this version of Garrick came from, but baby girl is sassier than ever. And he says to Slackjaw, did she respond to you on the old phone at all? And Danielle says no. And he goes, not at all. And she goes, well, not since she's been home. And he goes, no, wait. Not at all today? And he's giving her these, like, Trump hands. You know when he does, like, the okay white power sign? You know what he does. But he does, like, you know, like when he's talking about like little Marco Rubio or like how much the blacks love him, that's the, you know, the hand symbols that he makes. So she goes, not since she saw my messages, but she's back on her phone and she's seen my messages. Why is she not responding? She saw my messages. She saw my messages. Respond to that. Go ahead. Go ahead. In a confessional, Joel tells us, you know, I have a little concern with Natalia and Danielle not working through things because the thing is, women are emotional and nurturing, but at the same time it just makes them more vulnerable to like thoughts or ideas that come into the mind, and they need to learn that not every thought that enters your mind is not always a good thought to entertain. Well, let's break it down, bitch, by your weird ass logic, Garrick, because you get to walk around like a robot with no emotions, you get to entertain any little horny little thought that comes to your mind. And most of them are just how to impregnate a Brazilian woman and eventually a French one, too. So, okay. So back to this fight video. Danielle's screaming, she literally saw my messages and she didn't respond. And Joel goes, well, she switched over her phone. I guess she's got like two different phones. And she has been like talking to them with two, like maybe she's got multiple apps on her phone. I don't know what the fuck. So he's like, well, maybe she switched over her phone and she's like not able to talk to you because she hasn't seen him. And she goes, that was like 2 hours ago. She saw my messages. And then Joel starts yelling, how many times has she messaged you? And you don't respond to her for 6 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours. How many times have you done it? And Danielle goes, it doesn't matter because how many times has Natalia responded to you since I sent her that message 2 hours ago? And so Danielle tells us, maybe, honestly, I think I'm at a place where I don't know where my relationship is with Garrick. He's going to go back to be with Natalia. So then Joel says, they have decided that not only is he going to Brazil, that he's going to be there longer than he planned on. So he's going to be there for a whole fucking month, get married, the whole shebang. Danielle says, I know we need this separation and it's healthy for us because our relationship right now isn't good. But if he chooses to run away with Natalia, I'm nervous about him moving forward in a legal marriage with her. Like, what if he stays there with her? What if this is the end for us? Yeah, girl. Questions that we've all been wondering this whole time. Two words. Robin Brown. Okay? And that's the end of the episode. I did watch another Monday Night Merrifield Instagram Live. Why? I don't know. But I did watch it. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Garrick has yet another migraine, allegedly. So he doesn't come to the live. So he doesn't have to answer any questions. She does say that they're planning on getting him Botox or possibly even an ear piercing that helps with the migraines. But she's like, he's definitely not avoiding it. And in fact, he was the one who suggested maybe we postpone it till tomorrow so he can answer questions. But then she says later that he gets nervous and he doesn't really like doing the lives. So it's like, you know, what is the truth? And then my favorite part is her silently reading questions. And it's like she reads them so quickly that she doesn't realize that she's being dragged. So she'll be like, how do you live like this? And then she has to clean it up. Oh, your son's name is Solomon. My son's name is Solomon, too. It's like she just avoids it. But like, don't read it out, girl. These are cries for help. So then she, again, once again, she's like, you guys are supposed to be asking me these questions beforehand. You're supposed to be sending these questions in. To where? You never tell them where to send these questions in, and you keep complaining. And ma'am, if you go through the Instagram lives that you save, you'll see a flood of questions that are there for you. Like, are you okay? Why are you continuing to do this? Don't you realize that he's manipulating you? Don't you want to get a real divorce, girl? Why don't you leave this man? Don't you realize he doesn't want you? Do you love yourself? So there are questions. You just don't want to answer them, ma'am. You just don't want to. There are dozens. There are dozens. Actually, let's go through some from last night's live. Okay, so there are 330 comments. The top one that Wifey Merrifield liked is there anyone on here who has anything positive to say? Seriously. If so, share. If not, scroll along. The next one is, Danielle, please make sure that you and your sons are protected financially. If Garrick marries and divorces another woman, you and your boys could end up with nothing. Protect them and yourself. And her response is, God's got me. Prayer hands. He is my protector. Bible emoji. Okay, girl. Well, I don't think H&R Block is going to accept a Bible emoji. But you let me know next year. I don't know. Scrolling down, somebody does say, how did this work out for Cody? LOL. And she says, okay, so many monogamous relationships end too. Laughing emoji. Does that mean no one should get married because it just doesn't work? And then she does the tongue sticking out eye rolling emoji. And then somebody says, I'm going to do the last one. I think he deserves migraines. Maybe you should go in the garage and have a revelation about them. And she says, what a beautiful heart you have. And again, the tongue sticking out emoji. Okay, so back to the live. She plugs these damn merch items as if anybody wants a Merrifield construction hat. But if you do, and you're looking for a more feminine twist on it, they do also offer the pink colorway with the script on it, in addition to the blue one. Okay, if you think the first one with the script on it might be a little too masculine for you. So then Garrick does, somebody asked in the live, how does Garrick not get slaughtered on his Facebook? And she goes, well, he turns off the comments. She also alleges that her life that we have not seen is very interesting, and that she wants to talk more about it. And she gives us a great example about how in high school, her gym teacher was also a bodybuilder, and he got her into weightlifting. So if anybody wants to give her a book deal, Run, Don't Walk, I'm sure it's going to be a bidding war. She also says, because somebody asked, why are you selling your house? Because you remember they built that house with Roberta in mind. It was going to be like their perfect polygamy house where Garrick got to have his big ass room by himself. And Danielle got to sleep in the attic, basically, like a redheaded stepchild. And so they're like, why are you moving? And she says, well, we're not sure where God wants us to be. And we've never felt like this house is our house. So that's why we're selling it. But then she admits, low-key, they only built that house as a spec house to for the company to show, like, what they could do. So don't make it about God. Make it about the dollars, like you said in the first place, okay? We didn't feel called to it because you weren't supposed to... You were trying to flip it, bitch. That's why. So then she mentions how people keep mentioning how, like, the Bible doesn't condone divorce unless it's, like, under the reason of abuse or adultery. And she says, even though that's true, we, meaning us, we need to change our view to tailor to them. We need to have to look at it like her heart isn't divorced. And the main thing is that, like, God is love and his word is true. Excuse me. And jail, immediate jail to whoever in that live asked them, had they considered opening their own church? How absolutely dare you? If you were not being sarcastic, jail. Okay. Even if you were, please don't put that in their mind. Jail. County jail for that one. Regular jail if you were serious. Then she starts rambling about, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It ends with, like, how many men are married but, like, cheat? And, like, if I'm wrong, then God will show me. If I'm wrong in my decisions, then God will show me. I'm like, babe. Yeah, turn on TLC every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And that's God showing you and all of us. So then she reads another comment. Do you realize that we all feel bad for you? Nobody should feel bad for me. What you guys see is only a fraction of my life, you know, where I'm going through struggles and I'm crying and, you know, think about somebody on their worst day, which would be fair enough, girl. But every day on this show seems to be your worst day. So that's why we're concerned. And honestly, I don't think anybody feels bad for you at this point because, you know, you want to be here. I don't know. Seems like it. It's giving. Anyway. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. If you're able to, if you got a couple minutes in your day to fill out the listener survey, I would really appreciate that. Check out the merch. There are links to that in the episode description. Yeah, thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.